following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen PLLP. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
And it is time to visit with Joel Gratz, partner with Christensen PLLP. Joel, I know you just came in. I was going to ask you, any slipperiness on any of the roads that you were on this morning?
Or? So far, no. It's still wet, and it's still wet on the windshield, so it's not freezing, okay. Which is a positive. So, no, I think we're okay.
Now, we've heard some rollovers, actually, on Highway 23. Apparently, a few slick spots between New London and Wilmer's. So, I didn't notice anything when I drove in. There actually wasn't any precipitation at the time I came in, but it looks, you know, it's got that look to it, that kind of hazy. But so there was a fine mist almost then? Or?
Yeah, even now when I just came in, it was. And I know this morning when I came in on Highway 12, no issues, I guess, knock on wood, but just same thing, just kind of wet and everything is okay so far.
Okay. Yeah. Well, again, so people, it might depend on the road surface too. There might be some of these bridge decks that, you know, even 1 degree can make a little difference, you know, sometimes. But
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I guess it's all in all, it's been the strange year that we had in 18. It's kind of continued in 19 here, it seems to me. I don't know if the weather really knows the difference, you know, of the calendar changing or not. I mean, it's just more kind of a seasonal thing. But, you know, we had a pretty chilly New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. And now we've been in a stretch of above average. And it sounds like by maybe, you know, Friday night, Saturday night, we're going to realize, it is January, and, you know, it's 25 below. So,
What's strange for me is we used to, as kids, get snow all the time. Like, lots of snow, snowmobiled everywhere. You could drive across the fields, you know, and it's been years since we've had that. Not that I want snow necessarily, because it's worked for a lot of us, but my kids sure wish we had snow. Yeah. I know that for sure.
Well, and then, you know, these storms like this last one now, you know, when they say the Midwest, that's a pretty big area. Yep. But, you know, there were several places like Kansas City, St. Louis, Springfield, Illinois, they all set records.
Bunch of snow.
You know, for snowfall.
Different places are getting the snow.
Yeah, and even our nation's capital, I saw a post from Amy Klobuchar yesterday. I'd say they had 2-3 inches on the ground right there, right outside the government offices. So
So I don't know what that means, if everything is shifting or if it's the El Nino or the El Nina. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I wish I was a meteorologist, but it's been unique. There's no question.
Yeah. Well, in your trade, of course, you're, you know, dependent on kind of what the government does, whether it's state or federal mainly, but I don't know if local governments, that does that play a part too? And I suppose to a certain degree. But
yeah, to a point. But it's interesting you bring that up now with the shutdown, the government shutdown. You know, we're told that we can still file by January 28th, which is the filing season when it kicks off for the IRS to receive electronic tax returns, which for the most part they require now. You can paper file and elect out, but the assumption is you're going to e-file all returns, business and your personal. And they still say the 28th is a good date to go for. And they're saying that they're not going to delay any refunds. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be honest with you. We've been dealing with some cleanup stuff from 18, meaning amended tax returns and some IRS audits and different things, and they are all on hold. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that they furloughed about 80% of their workforce during this stretch. So, Bill, I'm not the smartest guy out there, but that means literally nothing is going to get done here for the next, and has not been getting done since the shutdown.
Yeah, and even, and the poor people that are working, I mean, there's a limit to what anybody can do, you know, as if there's 20% of the workforce, you know, trying to do 100% of the work, you just can't. Not going to happen, you know.
Yeah, we're trying to fax things, call things, and they're not answering. I mean, simply they have not answered in 4 weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, I heard when this first started, you know, people make these wild claims because they hear it, or they the second or third hand, or, you know, it's selective hearing. I heard one woman call in on the Bohannon show. There were 56,000 employees of the IRS, and the actual number is a little over 5,000. So, I mean, it was like 5,400 is the actual number.
Is that... You know, I've never done the really...
You know, and that's, and you know, that's the thing, you know, it's all this excess. We don't need all these people. You know, well, you find out that, first of all, the number was completely wacko.
Yeah.
And you know, we want to have people not get away with stealing, because that's what happens if...
no one's watching.
Somebody has to, you know, be in charge of, you know, nobody wants to get audited, but on the other side of the coin... you know, do you want, you know, literally when you're doing your job to be a good citizen, pay your taxes, you know, why should, you know, Johnny get away with not paying anything?
Yep, I agree. I agree. And I, yeah, it's a unique situation where everybody thinks that they have a perception of whatever's happening out there. But so interesting enough, that shutdown is impacting.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't heard much, you know, since this morning, but they're not moving too far, right?
No,
right,
it's a game of chicken, as they say. And I, you know, it's not the money. Let's face it.
Yeah,
it's 1/1/8 of a percent of our annual budget.
Yeah.
I mean, you could literally build a wall from here to China.
Yeah.
And so it's strictly, it's a matter of, you know, who's going to blink and you know.
Showdown.
Yeah. And I think both sides feel it's you know,
important enough.
It must be at this point. They don't want to give in.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's kind of silly. But I do feel for people that are being directly impacted. Now, I can, you know, so far, you know, but it could happen, you know, where it's going to impact more of us. You know, it sounds like with, you know, TSA and things like that. I mean, what, the Farm Service Agency, they're technically shut down, aren't they?
Now they're shut down. Though? Yeah, the payments, you know, the MFP payments, that was a really weird deal. Like, don't, you know, we're shut down. We're not going to pay them. And all of a sudden it hit all my farmers' accounts, you know, on the 30th of December.
They got some money then.
They did, which, I mean, which is great. They need that shot in the arm, but we've already done our tax planning. So, and these payments, you know, for the soybeans were relatively significant for a lot of these guys. So it wasn't like it was just a couple bucks, you know. So our planning kind of got messy there at the end of the year. Thank you, government. But that's just how it works. So you do your best, you know.
Well, and you and I just chatted about it, too, with the state being, you know, it looks like not going to come into conformity. Now, how many states really have not? Do you know any off the you know?
There's only about, I'd say, 50% of the states that start with federal taxable income. And of those 50%, my understanding is most have either obliged and just said, yeah, we're going to conform. So I think we're probably one of 10 that are left that are kind of hanging out there on, you know, what's it going to look like. Everything we're hearing through our local chambers, through the Minnesota Chamber, it's not going to happen. I agree. It's for this season for sure.
Yeah.
The commissioner of revenue here in Minnesota, Cynthia, I forget her last name, I apologize. She said, we already told them, if you're going to make a change, it's not going to be for this season. It will take 6 months to retool and to repaper everything up. So I think when Governor Walz heard that, he's like, yeah, we're done.
And I think, like you mentioned, there's talk about amended forms. That's what you'll be looking at, right?
Yep.
I mean, if and when they do conform.
That's what could happen. If they decide to make a change retro and we go through our filing season, it would make everybody have to come back in, visit their CPAs, and amend the tax return.
Mm-hmm.
So that's additional cost
to
the taxpayer. And I hope that the legislators understand that and just say, all right, if we're going to make a change, it's going to be forward, not retro. You know, so
yeah, that's a good thought though that I hadn't thought of it because, you know, it's one of those things. So, what are some of the other things that your clients, you know, as far as your business owners, whether they are in the farming business or ag related or whatever is prominent out here, it seems to be still pretty much ag related. What are they? What are they needing to know, Joel, to kind of be on the cutting edge?
Yeah, you know, today preparing for today's session, we've been really tax heavy, obviously, and I wanted to kind of mix it up today. Thinking about what I'm seeing, looking on a 19 as far as what economic indicators, what tax indicators are out there. And these interest rates are kind of freaking me out. You know, they say, no, we're not going to move them. And then there's a move right before Christmas up the ladder. And our short-term, you know, financing continually is going to go up. And it has been going up. And I think it's going to continue. The long-term rates are relatively stable considering, but at some point they're going to have to react, I believe, to this. So if you could put on your list out there, business owners, if you have any short-term debt out there, pay attention. It might be worth calling your lender and saying, hey, is there something we should do different? Should I try to fix something instead of letting it ride in the variable, which may cost a little money up front but may save some later? And I guess to always ask the question, if your long-term debt's not fixed, maybe you should think about locking that in because now might be the time to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because it's been such a long period of low interest rates, almost zero in some cases. I mean,
which you kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
Right?
You know? And you forget about the days when it was 19 or 24%.
Right.
You know,
right.
Which I'm old enough to remember, believe it or not. So.
Which was had been scary times.
Well, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Because it was hitting you from both sides, you know.
Yep.
But up until that, we had kept hearing, you know, with the, even with inflation and so forth, which is not our friend usually.
Usually.
And, you know, well, you borrow that money today and pay it back with cheaper dollars tomorrow. If I heard that once, I heard that a million times.
Right.
And the government was doing it, and they were encouraging the private sector, too, to just go and hawk.
Yeah.
Because you're going to pay it back with cheaper dollars. Well, I mean, seriously, you still had to pay it. The key part was you do have to pay it back.
Always.
You know, so I don't know. It's
right.
It's a complicated thing, and there's many factors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now it's more of a global economy, and it was already somewhat of a global economy. This is back in the late 70s, early 80s, and it seems even more global now than it was then. I from what I've been reading, China is not, I mean, it was unsustainable, this double digit, you know, growth.
And they're slowing down.
And now they've got a lot of empty apartment buildings. They've got whole, like these middle sized cities that are virtually nobody's living in them. Because people have abandoned them because a lot of the jobs went away.
Okay.
And so they've had to abandon. And I was just reading a story, I think it was in the New York Times yesterday, and it shocked me. Because it was in the northern provinces, they said, which is quite agricultural, forested.
Mm-hmm.
And in those areas, literally, you could have your pick of places to live.
Interesting.
And yet there is no real, you know, decent job to support you either. I mean, other than service jobs.
Yeah.
Which I think back to David Durenberger, one of the all-time great quotes. We can't be a great nation doing each other's laundry, is what he said to our news director one day. And I thought, what a insightful thought, because that's your service-based economy.
You've
got to create new wealth, and that's where agriculture, mining, all these basic industries,
manufacturing,
they make something from, you know, a raw material and add value to it. And,
which I think the economy's poised to do some of these things, to go back to let's make something and instead of doing our laundry, which is a great quote, by the way.
Well, I thought it stuck with me. You probably said it 40 years ago, but I mean, I thought, boy, that's insightful.
Right. And with this government shutdown and the budget and us continuing to borrow, and now with this new tax law, I'm going to go on a limb here, Bill, and I think the tax revenue is going to be far less than what they're predicting based upon some of the big money people and big money corporations that I'm seeing are going to have some massive wins this year, who have been paying maybe by percentage a smaller number, but by dollars the bulk. So that's a kind of a unique deal. So if the tax revenue's down, I don't think the cuts have happened enough to balance that. I think we're going to see after this tax season the old forecast of that deficit's going to grow way faster. And that's really making me nervous, which then the economy's going to start to fall a little bit. The interest rates are going to have, I mean, there's a lot of things where, you know, the market, you can obviously, stock market is just kind of hanging on right now. They're in limbo.
Yep.
They're floating on all this stuff. And I'm a little worried about that too. So back to restructuring with your debt. Now's the time to do it. We just don't know what's going to happen. You know, cash flow and working capital for business owners, which is your basically your current assets, 12 months of assets, 12 months of liabilities, whatever that might be, you got to be on the plus side for that working capital, you know, and you've got to be, you can weather storms if you've got working capital. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my ag guys, that working capital got thin now. They had a lot of equity on the balance sheet, meaning in land or equipment or whatever. But the lenders were doing some, hopefully once-in-a-lifetime refinances, meaning pulling stuff out of their, you know, short-term needs down, and they call it terming it out into debt. And that was probably, for most of my ag guys, the right thing to do. You needed to restructure yourself, which is why I put on my list this year.
Yeah, exactly. What about input costs, like for agriculture? Are they in fairly, I mean, it's all expensive, it sounds like to me, the layperson, but it seems like something we do see at, you know, the price at the pump, so to speak. So energy, is that, because that does impact fertilizer and other.
Dramatically impacts,
you know,
it.
So,
I would think most of my farm guys and gals would say that their input costs are going to go up.
Okay.
Which is not what you would expect in this type of ag economy, which is going to create a bigger pinch, we feel, in 2019 if the commodity markets don't change.
Mm-hmm.
Which right now I'm not seeing a lot of I mean, obviously the trade tariffs, I mean, that's going into effect, was that March 1 or March 31, somewhere in there. And the commodity markets holding on and holding their breath to the tweets about there might be a deal, there might not be a deal with China.
Right.
The wheels will fall off.
Now, whatever deal, if there is one, is that something that has to be approved by Congress, though, then, too, and as slow as they are? You know, they haven't approved Mexico or Canada yet, have they, really?
Technically, I don't think they have, but I shouldn't even go on a limb. I don't know if they have or not, but I got to believe it can't be just the president signing that into effect. So,
yeah.
Whether or not says it or not, I think they do. The Congress and the Senate have to approve it.
I think they do, too.
Otherwise, that'd be really unchecked power.
Yeah, because when they first enacted NAFTA, it was such a close vote.
Yes.
But it seemed like it took close to a year of debating it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and right now, I mean, I'm some pretty emotional debate on both, on the floors of both bodies, especially the House, as I remember.
Right.
And even if this... they do come to some sort of an agreement, and hopefully it will be a little more of a level playing field or a fair agreement. You can't expect that it's going to go into effect. Now, it sounds like, it depends on the old glass half full, half empty, because some people were saying, okay, so China still needs to buy. Mm-hmm. They're buying from other places like Brazil and Argentina.
Which they were, yeah.
But then we are able to backfill into some of these other markets that normally would buy from places like Brazil and Argentina, because suddenly
it's got to come
product,
from somewhere.
Yeah, the product isn't there for them. So, there's a world supply, I guess.
It's a world market.
You know, whether it's coffee or, diamonds, whatever it might be,
But I think most merchandisers are really cautious. It's literally just inflated on hopes and prayers right now, I'll be honest. So the wheels could fall off, but we'll see.
So finally, then, other indicators that you're watching, your firm, or just...
Well, one thing that's kind of people aren't really paying attention to is health insurance.
Yes.
Everybody pays attention to it, but that mandate goes off on Jan 1. So, like, we are now in a period where the penalty to have health insurance is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm predicting the marketplace is going to have to respond to that, because I think there might be far less people perhaps getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Which could have a negative impact on that price, because now, as that was built into the market before at these already, I feel, inflated prices, all of a sudden, if all these people who had to buy move out, that pool is less to
cover
the people.
And some of those were healthy young people,
and they
probably.
They were healthy young people.
Right.
So I think you got to really pay attention to your health insurance. My firm made a move to actually renew a month early to stay locked in, because the next year's rates for 2019 were extraordinarily high again. So we made a move on that. So a lot of business clients did that. So you're going to need to, and you can always on a business plan, generally speaking, elect out in the middle of a year. Some people feel they sign on and it's a 12-month deal and I can't get out and there's penalties. That's not the case. So as the market starts to kind of, equalize back to what where the market was before a mandate, call your insurance person and just see if there's a reason to maybe get out and do some different unique things. We have health insurance consultants because we feel it's so important on staff at our firm. You could actually go in and start doing some rework on some group plans and doing some. We have a new product that works well for some businesses where they have a lot of younger people in their fold to hedge on their healthiness, if you will, and save some money for everybody. So don't feel like you can just... assume I'm done now. I've signed up. I hate health insurance. I did sign it. I'm paying these monster checks and I'm done. On the business side, if you got group plans, you can definitely go in there and look at that again. Thinking about the group plans, I want employers to look at their employee benefit packages again. The marketplace is very competitive right now to getting those top-notch employees that we all want, especially out here in West Central Minnesota. So I would put on the list for 2019, review your employee benefits, look at your retirement accounts. Do you have a retirement plan? Do you have health insurance? Do you have disability, long-term, short-term? Those are things I think you got to take a peek at to try to stay competitive, because I'm seeing everybody making moves right now with my clients.
And, you see advertised these sign-on bonuses and things like that. And, sometimes it's kind of like I think of Dish Network. They're trying to entice new business, but what about us that have been with you for 25 years? What about, you know, how about a little free movie or something, you know? Because it does kind of, I can see where people that, you know, they see that if they're working at, you know, firm X and they're offering somebody $10,000 to join that firm and
which is short term, though.
Yeah, it's short term.
It's
but
the candy. It's the carrot and the end of the stick.
But I mean, the people that are there and making it happen, maybe they haven't been offered anything, you know, maybe not even a raise, you know, so that type of thing. But,
And for my individual friends out there, we've talked about the charitable giving, how the standard deduction is much different. And in 19, for all, and I feel this community is very philanthropic, so I wanted to mention this, that take a look at your giving, and if you want to try to align it with some tax opportunities, not that that's why you give, but if there was something out there, take a look at that and reassess. And now's the time to do it for many reasons. For my farm guys and gals out there, commodity gifting, by far the best way to do it. So make sure you think about that and do that early versus late. If you are, for my retired friends out there who are getting your required minimum distributions from your IRAs, that can be directly given to your charity and you will not have to pay any income tax on that. Otherwise, you would. So I think that's two very powerful tools. If you have any appreciated stock out there, you can give that directly, and then you don't have to pay tax on the gain. So there's ways to gain some opportunities, do some bunching up, where you work with our local Willmar Area Community Foundation. We talk about donor-advised funds. Mm-hmm. That's a very powerful tool to do some what I call bunching, where you probably do 2 years of giving in one time. So review your giving. If you're out there and still, if you can align the stars right to still have your philanthropic interests out there, but you would like to see if you can maximize some tax opportunities, there are ways to do it, but just make sure you reassess those before you get into your 2019 giving plan.
Yeah, that's something, you know, you don't, it doesn't always occur to somebody right in the front of mind, but.
Right.
And those are all, I think, valuable tips. If people have any questions or would like to learn more, Joel, and consult with somebody at the firm, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, give us a call at 320-235-5937. We feel at the Christensen firm the strongest team we've had in a long time. We have a lot of consultants, a lot of things to help you with any needs you might have. So give us a shout.
And again, you're hoping to start filing those returns late in the month of January here.
Well, that's what we're saying. That's what we're hoping for, I guess. But we'll see how it goes and how the government shutdown impacts that.
All right. Well, Joel, great to see you. Have a terrific day. And let's see, are you going to be back one more time yet?
Two more times. Yeah, unless you're cutting me off.
Oh, no, we aren't going to do that.
Yeah, well, Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Joel. Thank you very much. 29 degrees. It's time to rejoin the Linder Farm Network.
Topical, entertaining.